We're going to be in Hebrews 12 this morning, if you guys want to start turning there. And actually, what we're going to be talking about is faith. And everything that we do as a Christian, it is by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. It's not that this happened and I saw the results, so I know that it's true. We live in a world that video has practically become a way of life. People get to be where we're visual people. We expect to see what we think we saw. But even with video, there's things that aren't actually what we think it actually is. Video is getting more complex, and things are actually, computer animations are getting more and more realistic. Fake videos, people know how to edit them to where they seem plausible, seem like what we think we might know. But even when we don't see it, you know, one thing sooner or later as a Christian, we hear someone question why we believe an old book with old stories. But it's not the book that we have faith in. It's the person who wrote it. I've heard someone refer to it this week as a bunch of love letters where God is pouring out his heart to us. The author is one person. It's God. And he wrote it through multiple people listening to his voice, using multiple people's experiences to capture what God is saying to us, showing their faith in God to others. Every truth that we receive, it's received by faith. But even without seeing it, our faith is the evidence of those things not yet seen. No one can take the tangible encounter with God where we know that it was God talking to us. Because there's no way that anyone could have pieced together what was going on in our heart or our mind when God did what only God can do. The only person who could have done that was the creator of the universe. The one who created each and every one of us. So Hebrews 12, we start in verse 1 here. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and as he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'll say we're mostly going to be in verses 1 and 2 here. But verse 1 starts out with the word therefore. So where do we go to other than looking back at what was right before this verse? Also, since it's verse 1 of chapter 12, that means we have to go back to Hebrews 11 and look at that. You don't have to turn there, but I'll set you up for what was going on. Hebrews 11 might jump out to some of you, because it's what we commonly refer to as the Hall of Faith. It's so many people who went before the author of Hebrews and showed their faith mightily. Heroes of the faith, if you will. We have some great examples of people who not only showed faith in one example, but they truly lived by faith. Talks about Abraham and Sarah and the faith that they operated in, giving up everything they owned to go to a land that God hadn't even shown them where it was yet. How they had faith to believe to try to conceive a baby when they were nearly 100 years old. It wasn't just one act of faith, but a lifestyle of faith that they lived. By faith, Noah, he devoted his livelihood to building an ark to save mankind from everlasting destruction. He didn't just build it by a single decision. He built it over years that it took to construct it. He endured scoffers that told him he was nuts for building such a thing. Even when he tried to warn them what would happen, they thought that he was crazy. By faith, Moses gave up his life in the wilderness as a shepherd. He sought the deliverance of his people. He didn't just send aid to them. He didn't just send them clothes and food and material items. He met with God, and God showed him that he was with him. He knew that he had God on his side. He knew that God would strengthen his words. He would line up exactly what to say to the Israelites. And by faith, he kept coming back to Pharaoh. He could have been killed at any point, but by faith, he kept coming back because God had said he wasn't done yet. And there were many other people that operated by faith. When you read through Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find lots of great examples. Many that were referred to even less. Their name may have only been mentioned once. Some of them you may not have even ever heard their name at all. But they operated out of and they lived radically by faith. Some of that faith may have also led to their physical death, but they knew that their faith in God was worth it. They knew that it was greater than anything else. It was worth risking their life for. But chapter 11 ends with a statement that even though they had a good testimony through faith, they had not yet received the promise. And that God did something better than all of their faith that they showed. It wouldn't be complete without God and what He had in store for every one of us today. So now let's go back to verse 1 in chapter 12 again. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us in the faith. They're up there and watching and recognizing the faith that we are running, and they're cheering us on. They want us to do better than they did even. They aren't interested in keeping their own name being famous. They want Jesus' name to be the one that's on people's lips. They recognize that they were just somebody that God used for His glory. All they were sold out vessels to do what the Creator of the universe was telling them to do. I'm starting to see how some of these things were intentionally written that they reveal some of the Bible that we miss out on. That there's some things that we prepare for and then something that we do is the objective. This passage is no different. Verse 1 has both our preparation and what we're to do in it. It says to prepare, says to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Now we'll look at the sin in a few minutes, but it's more than just sin that slows us down. It's any weight that we're carrying that we weren't meant to carry at all. Some things we're just not meant to bear. We're not supposed to pick it up. We shouldn't be hauling it around. We're meant to leave it behind. We're meant to shed it off, cast it off. It becomes a hindrance for us. Our past, it may have been full of sin, but even when we repented and changed our ways and no longer partake of that sin, it can slow us down. If we're constantly trying to battle the old us, it's bringing us down. It's burning calories that aren't moving forward in what we're trying to do. It's not productive. We're just spinning our wheels. We need to move past the old man. When we keep running back to the old man, trying to have conversation with him, trying to fight him off, we're just spinning our wheels. The old man is dead. There's no need to engage with him anymore. We're to leave him in the past, leave him behind. Sin wants to ensnare us. It wants to trip us up. It wants us to get where we're stuck. Some words that are in the Bible, when they are translated from the Greek words, it's hard to capture it for what it was originally meant to say. This is one of them. The words that we read here, that we read in the New King James as easily ensnares, it was a word that was difficult to translate. There's four ways that we could actually more accurately translate it. Could be translated as easily avoided, admired, ensnaring, or dangerous. Some sins can be easily avoided, but they're not. Some sins are admired, but they must be laid aside. Some sins are ensnaring, and especially harmful. Some sins are more dangerous, leading to more sin. If we don't lay it aside, though, it will slow us down and make us less effective. Too often, we give the enemy credit for making us sin. I just couldn't avoid it. The devil made me do it. The fact is, yes, while some things, there is demonic oppression at hand. There's demonic activity that could be causing those behaviors. More often than not, we are the ones to blame. We have control over our own decisions that we're going to make. Our actions are one of the first things that God gave us authority over. We're the ones to make adjustments to it. We're called to cast aside every weight. We're to cast aside every sin. It's not ours to carry. Jesus came to take that from us. He took every sickness, disease, and infirmity and curse on the cross for us. He desires for us to give Him our burdens. He wants us to shed that weight. Back when I was really big into diesel trucks, I preferred truck pulls where you actually wanted to add weight to help you out. Add weight to help you get traction to pull the sled down the track. But I remember working on a race car in college. A friend of mine, he would drive it quite often to class, and then there were times that we would be working on it. But they would go through and try to remove as much weight as they could out of that vehicle. Anything that could be unbolted or could be cut out, it was pretty well gone already. There were no seats in it other than the driver's seat. Forget about any interior panels, headliner, all that could go. Nothing needed to look good inside of it. All that extra weight meant that it took more to get it going. The race that he was trying to use it was a hindrance to his goal. He could get better results by getting rid of every extra weight. Removing the weight was a preparation for the race. Here, the second half of verse 1 tells us the race that we're preparing for and casting the weight off that might slow us down. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We're in it for the long haul. We're meant to endure the race. It's not a quick sprint and we're done. The race is run at an endurance pace. It's not a sprint, walk, sprint, walk. It's carrying on at a steady pace. It's determination to endure until the race is over. It's not hurried, but it's not delayed either. That is the race of faith that we run. God wants us to endure the race with our faith. Not hurrying and going before God, and not delaying or lagging behind Him until after God tells us 5 times to do something either. It's the endurance that we operate in, obedient faith, throughout the race. It's keeping the pace while we seek God's face. Paul, he recounts this race in Acts 20 and verse 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. He recognized what this race was that he was running, and that his joy would remain until he finished the race. Paul recognized the endurance needed to keep going. He saw how the faith in Jesus was needed and proclaimed the good news of the gospel. Paul used that whole concept of our walk with God being a race many times throughout the letters he wrote. Races, they have the easier times and the more difficult times, but they were ready to endure. So how do we endure with patience in this race? Answer comes in verse 2 here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We look to Jesus. We look to Jesus. That's how. He's truly the one that we need. Whatever hardships we're facing, we have Jesus right there. He doesn't leave us. He's right there with us. Jesus, the one who created us, the one who started this relationship with us. He knew what it was like for endurance. He came and he was rejected. Yet he stayed the course and he gave his life for all. He gave his life even for those who rejected him. He gave his life even for those who sent him to the cross. He gave his life even for the ones who drove the nails in his hands. We look unto Jesus, again with the specific phrases that we see in the Bible. This is more than just looking at him. It's looking away from everything else as well. We look unto Jesus, and we look away from the weight that we just cast off. We look away from the sin that wants to ensnare us. We look away from every distracting, shiny object that might be coming our way. Whatever that is, we look away from it and we look unto Jesus. We focus on Him. the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who created us. He made us. He formed our very being. He's the author of our faith. But he's more than just the author. He's also the finisher of our faith as well. He's there at the beginning, and he's there at the end. Finisher could also mean the perfecter of our faith. He perfects our faith. He makes it perfect. And I know I've touched on that before, but the word perfect more easily means complete. He completes our faith. The author and the finisher, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Romans 1 and verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith is central to everything as a part of Christ. As a believer in Christ, our walk with Him, our race in this life, it begins with faith, and every step along that journey requires faith as well. Every single thing we do in Christ is through faith. None of us were around when Christ lived on the earth, but we believe that He came as a man. We believe that He lived a perfect life, that He took the place of our sin on the cross, and that's where He died. And then He was buried, and then by faith we believe that He rose again in victory over sin and death. By faith we believe that He sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to come and fill us, to empower us to do more than what Jesus did while He was on the earth, to do greater things, to distribute spiritual gifts to each believer as He sees fit. By faith, we operate in those gifts. By faith, we recognize that we hear the voice of God, and He instructs us with a word for someone. By faith, we reach out to someone that God is showing us to reach out to. Just as much as Hebrews 11 highlights the hall of faith, as we call it, the people who are cheering us on want to see us succeed and continue with endurance in the race that we are running, because they recognize that that was the race that they ran. They were here for a specific time and purpose, and they cheer us on because of the race that we're in now. Because we're here for now, for this time, and this purpose. Jesus set the example for us, though. He endured the cross. He endured the shame of the cross. But He did it with joy. He wasn't bitter against the people who did it to Him. He knew this was a part of work that was greater that would be coming. He knew that this would reconcile so many back to a relationship with the Father. He took that shame and put it in the grave as well. But that shame didn't raise from the dead when Jesus did. We don't bear the shame that Jesus bared. We just read in Romans 1 that we're unashamed of the gospel. Jesus took that weight of shame for us. So we look into Jesus. Whatever it is before us, we look into Him. We look past whatever else is in our way. We focus on Him because He sat down at the right hand of the throne and he is glorified. We continue in Hebrews 12 and verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. This is all the same thought pattern of the race analogy. Jesus is our example, and he was able to endure the mockery, all the lashings, all the shame of the robe and the crowns of thorns that they put on him. And so if he was able to do that, and he is our example, we can be strengthened by it. And then some. Holy Spirit is greater than any opposition that we face. Holy Spirit in us punches the enemy in the teeth. He removes the bite that the enemy has. Jesus went through stuff, so that should encourage us that he is right there with us and comforting us along the way. There's nothing that's too much for him. Nothing is outside of his capabilities. The author of Hebrews reminds the people who are reading this that God's word has the answer. He's revealed things through those that have gone before us. They aren't just there for stories to think about. Stories are just the way that it makes us easier for us to remember. Ask God for us, put us in remembrance of his word, his instructions to us. Whether it be the written word of God or the personal word of God that he's had for us, God will correct us. He wants us to endure the race. He wants us to exercise and be able to run with less stress on us. He wants to reveal weight that we're not trying to carry around. He wants to show the extra weight that's going to slow us down. He wants to be the one to expose sin that we might be trying to pick up or trying to partner with. Chastening is done out of love. God loves his children. He loves seeing his children grow. He loves seeing us choose things that will help us, not hurt us. We continue in verse 7 here. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. We have to trust God. The chastening is just as much a part of the faith as anything else. We can't hang on to something too tightly because God wants us to focus on him. We can't be looking unto Jesus if we can't take our eyes off of something he wants to remove from us. Thankfully, the writer of Hebrews doesn't leave us with chastening. He sandwiches some good instruction here after talking about that. Continuing in verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, It makes straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Here we see some encouragement from the writer. Build ourselves up so that we are not weak. When someone's hurting, you don't keep poking at the wound. You help them get better. So that way they have a full and a quick recovery. We're to pursue peace with people. Not try to wind them up. Not try to slam on them or other people. Or complain about what's going on. God doesn't have us here for creating division. He has us here for creating unity. We affect more than what we think we affect. Our words shape the atmosphere. God wants us to pursue Him and endure with our response and our actions. The conditioning time for the race, the preparation time for the race, it's so that we can actually run the race with endurance because we have Him being the one sustaining us and strengthening us. He's with us the whole way. By faith, we listen and we run the race in obedience to what God is saying. All hearts clear? Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You for everything. Lord, we thank You for those who have gone before us, Lord, those who are cheering us on in the race that we are in now. Lord, help us see every weight that we need to set aside. Lord, show us anything that we've been hanging on to that we need to cast off because it's not productive for running this race. Lord, reveal any sin that we need to disassociate with, that we need to repent of, God, that we need to cast off as well. Lord, have Your way in us. Lord, have Your way in our lives. Have Your way in our actions, Lord. Lord, we look unto You. We focus on You. We cast off every distraction. Have Your way, Lord. Have Your way, God. Lord, show us throughout our week how we're operating in faith. Show us throughout the week how we're living out and living by faith for You, God. Show us anything You want to show us, Lord. We open our hearts to You. Nothing is off limits, God. Do what You've always wanted to do in us. We thank You. We praise You. We love You, Lord. It's in Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.